Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Good evening. This is getting weird. For two straight days, we've had the 8 a.m. early start Pacific, and yesterday was 5. Today, I pushed it back a little bit, so maybe a few more people can get home from work, get situated, grab a cocktail, and I'll give you a sit right back in here, a tale. Okay, love day 82 at 49ers camp. And I told you I was going to go down to the defensive line and we were going to talk a lot of defense. And I did not disappoint, although there's other things to talk about. But there's Robert Saleh. He's back. Welcome back. There he is. Looking good. Head's looking good. Robert's in great shape. We don't have to worry about that. And he seems to be a more chill guy. I don't know if he's going to be more chill on game day. But he seems to be a bit more of a chill dude. So we shall see, but based on today's press conference and talking to him, he seems a little more philosophical than he was before, but I could be 100% wrong. But anyway, I'll give you some viewpoints on Robert Saleh. We'll hear from Robert Saleh today. It is episode 201. It is a recap of 49ers training camp day number two. You can see, before we do a little roll call here in a second, welcome, welcome, welcome. John Lund Unleashed. Please make sure you are subscribed. We normally do the show at 9 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. on Saturdays. But we did an 8 a.m. because I had to get down to camp today and yesterday. And wanted to do a recap yesterday and today on the first couple of days. Who's jumping out? Remember, they're still not in pads. They got to do tomorrow. They'll do Saturday. They'll take Sunday off. And then, or they'll take Saturday off, sorry. And then they'll do Sunday, and then Monday they can be in pads. So that's how it's going to go for the 49ers. And then we'll start learning some things, especially in the trenches. That's what we're really going to want to do. So I'm going to go down to Monday's practice because I've seen him in shells, and you can only learn so much. I want to see him start hitting. And so Monday I'll be back down at practice because that's what I want to see, and that's when we can really see the big boys. But 49ers day camp two, run, Ricky, run. Defense starts up front. Trent, Mikel's size, Huff. So fast. More winners. Saleh speaks. Catch of the day. D-Rob, the sleeper, Jordan James. And I got all sorts of stuff from on the field, off the field. Who was there, by the way? A couple of, another Hall of Famer was there today. I'll tell you about that as well. We got some stuff and more on the recap of day number two. Who's in here today? Let's say hello to Anthony is here. Good afternoon. Remember, I got to say good afternoon because I always say good morning. Good afternoon. Hello, Pine. Hello, Pine. It is wonderful to see you. Thank God John is not a girl. Everyone always think he's pregnant. Yeah, the LeBron James thing where he's going to sue people. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I would not be an attractive woman. There's no doubt about it. Hi, Tommy. It's great to see you. Hello, Christopher. You're probably taking a little time off work, so I will make sure that I get to the point quickly because you may have to run. Keeping the faith, Tommy is here to look at day number two at camp. It is great to see everybody. Hello, DC. Hurley Bird is here. Chef A is here. Mr. Joe. And make sure you tell all your friends and enemies that we're recapping today. If you're watching on X, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are watching from. Might be 9 o'clock on the East Coast. I don't know, but welcome to a recap of day two for the 49ers. All right, there you go. Robert Saleh spoke today, and I told you this morning we were going to focus on defense, but I did not ignore the offensive side of the ball. So let's do start with defense. I told you I was going to hang on that side. I took a bunch of footage of defense, so let's start here. Now, you're not going to hear, but I'll explain it to you. So this morning what happened was I got an email from somebody, and I got up early, and I did fix it. But one of the things was I'm walking, and so they keep us behind a fence for a minute, and then we start walking in, and we can hear the blaring speakers. And I told you yesterday, they've got a DJ, and for the second consecutive day, it was more rock than it was, you know, hip-hop or anything like that. There was even some country today where they were jamming. And yesterday, though, it was Crazy Train when we walked in. It was Ozzy's Crazy Train. And so, you know, Chris McCaffrey was over there, so I was shooting it. And as I was standing there, I was saying, hey, an ode to Ozzy, really cool. Well, YouTube didn't like that. And so they decided, after letting it run all night, and this morning I get this YouTube thing and it says, your video's blocked. And then I was getting emails like popcorn this morning. Hey, I'm trying to watch your video. It just cut off. And so now, because they play music the whole, all of camp, there's never a moment where there's not music going. So you're not going to hear Chris Kucerik yelling, because if I play the music, then they're going to cut it down. So this is going to be, there's going to be no sound here, but it's okay. I'll tell you that Chris Kucerik is screaming his head off, okay? And there's Metallica, Enter Sandman playing, okay? It's not going to change anything. It's just that I don't want the video to get blocked. So I'm not playing, and it's just playing in the background, and YouTube doesn't care, so I'm going to have to keep the sound down. Doesn't matter. Here's the big boy, Alfred Collins, and Chris Kucerik this afternoon is all over him. There's big boy, 95. By the way, you can see Elliot right there. He's about 6'3", 325 himself. So he's going to come back for another rep. That's Chris Kucerik, D-line coach in the backwards hat, and he is going at him. See him? He coaches hard, and he's yelling, and he's screaming at him all day. Let's go, let's go, let's go. He's down screaming in his ear right there. Look at him just going at him. Ah, ah, ah. I mean, it's a party, man, for the defensive line. And he comes back, and he's like, do another one, do another one, do another one. He's just screaming at the top of his lungs. He's got Metallica rocking on. And again, he gets down there every single time and is screaming in his ear, in Alfred Collins' ear, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. So there's one drill, and Alfred Collins is like, damn, man, we didn't do this at Texas. The other thing to know about Alfred Collins, but I'm going to go back to this, just the part, right, so where he's walking back, all right, where he's walking back real quick. That's not, I mean, he's a big man. He's 6 foot, he's listed at 6 foot five and 332 pounds, but he doesn't look fat. You know, guys, I mean, he's long, but guys at that weight, a lot of times they kind of look sloppy along the defensive line. He does not. So that's a big man. And if he can get down and he can get leverage, then he can be really good. CJ West is not going to have that problem. West wears 99 and he's 6 foot one. He's listed at, I think, 6'1", 317, but Alfred Collins is a massive man. And so there's one of the drills. And then, so a lot of, you know, they're getting down and the ends aren't doing this. The edge guys weren't doing this drill. This was just the inside guys doing that. And guy after guy after guy, Chris Kucerik is just on him, right? On him. Guy after guy after guy after guy. And then the outside guys were doing this drill. And there's Bosa with the first one. They're just getting, doing a get off drill. And the big guys are watching them go. This is Mikel Williams. So you're going to see Mikel Williams go first. He is a big dude. You can see him next to the other guys, and you can even see it next to Bosa. Bosa's a big guy. Mikel Williams is much bigger, and I'm going to play Trent Williams for you later. But you can see he's got a nice get-off. So comp it to Bosa. He's getting down to that four-point. He's got some get-off. He's good. And Bosa's just different. There's Bosa. He's twitchy. So there's your Bosa. So there's your little get-off exercise right there. So a couple of little things from camp, a little get-off, a little Alfred Collins, a little – Chris Kucerik just screaming, and there was a lot of rock music going on today as far as the defensive line is concerned. So that's what's going on as far as the defensive line, and it starts up front. And they did a hoop drill today, which was really cool. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. They put a giant hula hoop on the ground, and all the guys have to run the hoop, and they have to get down low. And the thing that you notice about CJ West and about Collins and about Elliott, these big dudes, these are athletic dudes, man. They are athletic. And the 49ers didn't just get, I just showed you that, they didn't just get guys that are just sloppy, you know, sloppy Joe, sloppy Joe. They didn't just get guys like that. They got guys, they're athletic big guys. You can see how Collins can move in his balance. You can see how CJ West, he's 99, he can move. He's got balance. They got all those guys running those drills. So, look, it's an impressive group. And I'm going to play Robert Saleh for you. And, look, he admits it. He admits a lot of jobs are up. He admits that they're going to be a really young defense and they're going to make mistakes, but it's promising to look at the amount of depth that they have, and it's just a matter of how quickly can these guys gel along the defensive line. So that's kind of what the defensive line looked like today, and we're going to look at all levels of the defense and what I saw today. By the way, speaking of the defensive line, so Patrick Willis was there yesterday at camp. You know who was there today? Speaking of defensive line, Bryant Young. And I've been fortunate enough to meet Bryant Young on about three different occasions. He did come to the pregame show last year. One of the coolest guys, nicest guys. humble guys that you'll ever meet in your life. And he, obviously on the field, he was a warrior, but one of the just the nicest guys ever. And he taught defensive line. So just an awesome guy, man. Just an awesome guy. So anyway, the defensive line looked good, but we're not going to really learn anything. And I can't really give you a full evaluation of everybody until we get the pads on. But don't go anywhere, because Sala talks a ton about the defense today, and I'll give that to you. And Trent Williams talks about Mikel Williams. Before I play Trent for you, I'm going to give you a this is kind of cool. So somebody asked Trent Williams, or somebody asked they asked Trent today. I'm trying to think about it. Yeah, they asked Trent today. Sorry, it all runs in the first couple of days. It all kind of runs together. So before I play a little Mikel Williams and what Trent thinks of Mikel Williams, they haven't gone one-on-one. That's what I'm going to go down there on Monday. I cannot wait. I'm going to give you two stories that just popped into my mind, and this is who Mikel Williams reminds me of. But so we were talking to Trent on the podium today, and I'll play a couple of cuts from Trent in just a second. One has to do with Mikel Williams, so we'll stay on the defensive theme here for a minute. And also D. Winter spoke today. But so Mikel Williams calls up Trent Williams during the offseason and says, and Trent has a has his own plane, and he says to Trent, "Hey man, I want to go down to Cabo," something along the lines of, "Can I use your plane?" And Trent's like, "You can't use my plane, but I happen to be going down to Cabo. Basically, I'll give you a ride, but you ain't taking my plane." So anyway, he got to know Mikel Williams. They hung out in Cabo, and I think there was a bunch of other Niners. This was like a month ago, he said, kind of right before the season. A bunch of Niners went down to Cabo, and it happened to be that Mikel Williams was one of those guys. And so he did get to know Mikel Williams. And then that size you see from Mikel Williams, it really stands out. And Trent said that he thinks, well, I'm going to let you know what Trent said about it. So there you go. So we played a little bull rush game there on the inside guys. We showed you a little bit of speed on the outside with Bosa and Mikel Williams. Here is Trent Williams on Mikel Williams, not off the field, but here he is saying that he thinks that Mikel, because of that size off the edge, is going to be pretty damn good. Here's Trent.
Mikel's a huge dude, man. You know, generally don't see guys that size on the edge. So, I mean, it sucks having a, you know, base block guy with arms, you know, long as your legs. But, I mean, I think he has a chance to be a really good player in this NFL. I think he has a chance to be dominant. He has the best coach in the league, pushing him. Get to learn from some of the best guys to learn from, obviously me. So I'm happy to see how he turned out.
So there you go. There's Trent Williams on Mikel Williams. And, you know, the thing is about Mikel Williams, and look, I'm not going to say he's this player, but this is why I want to, and this is the second story I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to say he's going to be this player, and certainly he's not going to be this player off the field, but just I'm talking body type, okay? Having seen Mikel Williams work for the first 2 days of camp and then going all the way back to my first 49ers camp in 2011, body type, okay? Only body type. Don't go into anything else. Body type, he reminds me of Alden Smith. He reminds me of Alden Smith. He's that long, and he's even bigger. I mean, he looks – now, Alden filled out as he got older, but when Alden was a rookie – and I'll tell you this story about the first training camp that I saw Alden Smith. And then I talked to Joe Staley after the first day and was like, what the what? So remember Alden Smith, he came in young. He came in 20 years old. He was the seventh overall pick of the 2011 draft. And nobody knew a whole heck of a lot about him. He was out of Missouri and people were kind of like, man, there were some other guys on the board. Remember J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald? And I mean, there were some damn good players. Von Miller was taken second that year by the Broncos. I mean, there were some really good defensive players in that draft. And Alden could have been an all-timer. We all know that. Could have been in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he had, what, 43 sacks in his first 42 games? I mean, the guy was a monster. A friggin' monster. We had him on from the Super Bowl after all those events. He took complete responsibility of everything. I just wish things would have turned out different. The guy was awesome. So the first training camp, I'm out, 2011, and it was the first day of pads. And Joe Staley's obviously playing left tackle, and here comes Alden Smith. We didn't know much about Alden, but he's coming around the corner, and he's consistently beating Joe Staley, who at that point, you know, he's established in the league. Joe's like, What's this dude doing? I mean, remember, Joe was in the league in 2007, so this is like Joe's fourth year in the league. I mean, Joe's, I'm not saying he's a vet, but he's a young guy. He's a young guy in the league. He's established. He's a good left tackle. And Alden is consistently beating him. I'm not going to say every single time, but these long arms where it's like, oh my God, this guy is these vines. And he's just, and Joe's having trouble, man. And so Joe went to the podium that day. And of course, everybody's like, what did you think of Alden Smith? And he's like, this guy's ridiculous. And just goes on and on and on and on and on. And just like, you know, the teams are going to have, they're just going to have trouble with him. He's just long and he's lean and he's a lot stronger than he looks. And I just remember that whole thing of him just like, man, this guy, Alden Smith, is ridiculous. And he came out early and he was only 20 years old. So you look at Mikel Smith and you go, Mikel Williams, and you say, 20 years old, comes out of Georgia, ridiculously big dude. I mean, I think they list him 6'5", 265. I think he might be like 275. Maybe he might even be bigger than that. And he's got long arms and he looks lean, but he's big. And I think he's probably stronger than you think. And I just can't wait till Monday comes and the pads come on, because, you know, Trent Williams is going to block him. And Trent, you just heard what Trent said. He's going to be a big pain in the ass. He's a big dude. He's got long arms. And look, Trent's awesome. You know, Trent talked today. I don't have the cut queued up, but he talked about Bosa and how he makes him better and how Bosa, you know, he'll know it's the end. He basically said, because everybody asks Trent every single year, like, when's it going to be the end? And Trent's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know when it's going to be the end. But he said, you know when I'll know? He said, when Nick Bosa's just kicking my ass out there every day. And then he said he'll know. But iron sharpens iron. And he's like, yeah, me and Bosa make each other better. But Monday, I can't wait, because I'm going to see. I mean, Mikel Williams looks the part. Trent Williams just said he's gigantic. And he looks like Alden Smith out there. I mean, that's just what he looks like. I don't know if he's going to be that way, because again, I'll go back to something I've said, which is he had the fewest snaps of any edge coming out. Any edge, he had the fewest snaps. And then I'll play Robert Saleh in just a second talking about youth. Youth makes mistakes. And so as we look at, well, you know what, I'll show you the depth chart in just a second. We'll talk about the depth chart in just 1 second, but I want to stay on the defensive theme, because I told you this morning I was going to stay on the defensive theme. But anyway, not saying he's Alden Smith. I'm just simply saying that this dude, he looks that part. That's all I'm going to say. He looks that part. Here's Robert Saleh. Let's talk about youth, and then I'll show you the depth chart defensively. And we're going to look at every level of the defense, because, again, some guys jumped out today. And then we will talk a little bit about the offense. But here's Robert Saleh. He was asked about the youth that is going to be on the defense this year.
The challenge with youth is that, let's see if I can explain this the best way I can. A veteran never makes mistakes, but sometimes they might be a step slow. They're not running that 40 time that they ran back in the combine. Right? Where a rookie is going to make a lot of mistakes, but he's flat, fast, and explosive. So the trick is, how quickly can you get that football player to play like a veteran while he's still connected to his 40 time that he ran back at the combine, right? Like, so that youthful energy, that youthful explosiveness. So, yeah, with youth comes lumps, because they're learning. I look at all of you as first-time journalists. You guys weren't all great coming out there's a lot of learning that went through, and you guys got better as time went on, and here you guys are. And same thing for a rookie in professional football, especially with what offenses are doing now. How complex they've gotten. They don't just stand there and make it easy for us. They're motion, they're moving, they're jetting, they're doing all kinds of stuff pre-snap. And so there's going to be some moments where it's like, ah, God. But you prick your finger, you fight through it, you get them to a point where they see it over and over and over again, and your hope is that that youthful explosiveness comes out as they continue to gain experience.
All right, so that's he admitted, and I'm going to play another cut from Robert Saleh in a second that talks about how many jobs are going to be open, because that's what I asked Robert Saleh was, well, how many jobs do you think are going to be open? This is what Robert Saleh said. So I'm going to do these quickly together, because I'm going to explain something after this. So he talks about youth, and then he talks about how many jobs are going to be open and more about youth.
And it is realistic that 8 of those 11 or 6 of those 11 8 of them, but or 8 new starters, and it's both awesome if they earn it, and it's going to be, and it's exciting, you know, just all the way around. You anytime you have that much turnover and that much change, there's going to be a process of gelling and getting to know one another. And again, just understanding the system and how you play together at a high level. And but whether they're veterans or young, the expectation is that you get better throughout the course of the year, regardless. Whether you're a 10-year vet or a young rookie taking his first snap, you go to bed better than when you woke up every day of life. And that's so the expectation, regardless of how old you are, is to get better.
How do you see the safety spot shaping up?
It's wide open. You know, it's JP Pinnock's coming in, Richie Grant, Siegel being a rookie, obviously Jair, Mustafa, and then there's some young guys back there that are fresh with Mahoney and Canteen and Neil. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but it is a wide open competition. That's it.
All right, so the reason I put the safety thing is, like I said, we're going to talk about all three levels of the defense. So we've talked a bit about the defensive line, and you know what it is. It's Collins inside. He's got to step up. It's Mikel Williams outside. He's got to step up. It's a better season from the guys who are around. I think C.J. West, I really like C.J. West. And again, we won't find out a lot till the pads come on. And it's Mikel Williams living up to his status, hopefully this year. Mikel Williams, I think, is inexperienced. I think it's a lot to ask of him at 20 years old to come in here and act like a first-round pick right away with his inexperience, but that's kind of what the 49ers are asking him to do. But let's digest what Robert Saleh just said there. Let me show you the depth chart just to do this. So let me share my screen with you here for a second. And I use RLADS because it's just easier to look at. It doesn't mean that this is necessarily and nothing is official or anything like that, but this is the most fun way to do it, right? With our lads. So let me do it this way. So Ayuk is obviously not playing. Let's just go to the defensive side. I want to play defense for a second. So Bosa, Elliott, and then they're assuming Collins and Williams. Right now, Mikel Williams is running with the ones, but he is alternating with Sam Akinwunmi. All right. So Sam and Mikel Williams are rotating at end. Huff, I'm going to talk about in just a second. And so that's your defensive line. Put a pin in Huff for just a second. Alfred Collins is not running with the ones right now. All right. Evan Anderson has run with the ones a little bit. So right now it's Bosa, Elliott, Williams. You see Givens in there some. You see Evan Anderson in there some. That's who's running with the ones. Collins is running more with the twos or the threes. And again, there's no starting lineup right now. Now, the three guys that definitely have jobs, Mikel Williams, and he could lose it, but Mikel Williams, Elliott, Bosa, they're rotating that other defensive tackle. That one's not one. D. Williams is starting at the weak side right now next to Warner. And then if a third linebacker comes in, it's not Nick Martin right now. It's Luke Gifford, 57, who came from Tennessee, and he's a special teams guy, but he's the third linebacker right now. So that's what's going on there. And then he just talked about the safeties. If you have more than two, you have none. He mentioned everybody. Jair Brown is back from the injury, moving around fine. Richie Grant has never been anything more than a special teamer. He mentioned Pinnock. I'm going to mention Pinnock got beat on a deep ball today. That was the catch of the day. I'll get into that. He mentioned Siegel, the fast guy out of Kansas State. He mentioned Mahoney, again, a free agent pickup. So the safety position scares the hell out of me because Malik Mustafa, as we all know, he's going to miss some time. He probably misses the first four games because of the late knee injury. So right now, Pinnock is starting and Jair Brown is starting. That's your safeties right now. And then as far as the corners are starting, it's Demo Lenore on one side. It's Renardo Green on the other side. And it's Upton Stout in the slot. That's what's mostly happening as far as the defense is concerned. So again, Collins has got to win that job at defensive tackle. Everybody was talking about Nick Martin. Nick Martin has got to win a job right now. That's going to Luke Gifford. Martin has got to step up. He's been eh. But again, we haven't put pads on. When pads are on, that's when we'll really find out what's going on defensively. Jair Brown is going to start. It's just, is it going to be Pinnock? Who, again, he was signed more for his special teams. Grant was signed more for his special teams. I'd be shocked if they put Siegel in there. And again, you just haven't seen a lot from him. He's played with backup so far, but that's what's going to happen when you're early in camp. So when we see some pads, you know, Siegel is supposed to be a near the line of scrimmage kind of hitter. Let's see it. Pinnock is supposed to be a big hitter. Let's see it. The big guys have to keep guys off Nick Martin or he can't be effective. Back to Bryce Huff for a minute. So I was concentrating on him. I was standing straight across from him on the 11 and 11s, and you can't tape during that time. So you can tape when they're just doing some drills, but then when they start doing the 11 on 11s at the end of practice, because they're running their plays, they don't want you to tape that. So you can't tape anything like that. And I just concentrated on the times that Bryce Huff was up against Trent Williams, because I just wanted to see that battle. And remember, they're not in pads. They have the pads up top. They have the shorts down below. So, but you're still getting a little bit physical. And a couple of times, Bryce Huff was so fast that Trent could barely get out of his stance and push Bryce Huff to the side. We don't need to share that anymore because you want to see my bright, shiny face. So Trent could barely get out of his stance and push Bryce to the side. And again, you're not sacking the quarterback. You're just brushing him. Bryce Huff today, during camp, had at least what would have been one sack and maybe even a second. He's just so fast around the corner. And they confirmed yesterday, they said the way that it looks right now, and things can change, injuries can happen. But as far as, and I told you this even before camp started, they're going to have a NASCAR package where Huff's going to come in. That's going to kick Williams, the rookie, Mikael Williams, to the inside. And Bosa's going to decide, and this is kind of, you know, something that Micah Parsons can do in Dallas. Other guys do it around the league. He's going to be able to decide, do I want to stay outside? Do I do inside? There might be a guard matchup that they like against specific teams. Yeah, I think they're weak inside. Remember, Aaron Donald used to do that. Aaron Donald would be like, where am I going to line up on this certain play? They might move Bosa inside for certain pass rush packages. They might move him to the outside, certain pass rush packages, because, you know, Nick's having a down year. All right, it's time to start moving this guy around so that he's not facing constant doubles plus a chip, all those kind of things. They want him to get to the quarterback. So they might be doing that as part of all this defensive line shuffling that they're doing. Watch for Nick Bosa to kind of move around maybe in the defensive scheme. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch as far as the defensive line for the 49ers. So we've talked about the defensive line. We said we were going to focus on defense today. We've talked about the defensive line. Trent's talked about how good the defensive line is. Robert Saleh's talked about how young the defense is going to be. He admitted there's probably, he said, 6 to 8 opportunities for rookies to start. Let's count them. 3 on the defensive line, potentially. Nick Martin, possibly, although, again, he's running with 2s and 3s right now. But, again, Clifford's job, that third linebacker job, is open. I think D. Martin's going to get the second one next to Warner. That third linebacker, when they need a third linebacker on the field, he's going to take that spot maybe. Right now it's Steve Clifford, who they got from Tennessee, who's more of a special teamer. But you got to win that job, Nick Martin. So that's possible. I'm just saying possible 4. Safety position, maybe Sigel, that could be. Slot position, obviously, Upton Stout. And by the way, even though I didn't get another Upton Stout, Robert Saleh was asked about Upton Stout, and he just heaped praise on him, just like Kyle Shanahan did yesterday. So Upton Stout's getting a lot of love. I keep saying wait till Monday, but that's what Robert Saleh said. After heaping praise on Upton Stout, Robert Saleh said, now let's see what happens on Monday, because he's like, with his size, we'll see. You know, can he be that K'Wan Williams that can dart in there, make plays, be physical? They're kind of waiting to see. That might be the final test. And again, I'm not saying that you're winning a job. You know, what would that be, like the 5th practice of training camp? But that would go a long way, that he can stay that way and be that physical and be a playmaker like he's been in the first couple of days of camp. But they like themselves some Upton Stout. So anyway, 6 to 8 jobs and a lot of young guys. And as Robert Saleh just said there, with rookies comes mistakes. And with rookies comes, they're going to improve. So what the 49ers may look like early in the season, and you're going to get frustrated and you're going to pound your table and it's going to make you drink more and you're going to get pissed and all those kind of things. What they may look like early in the season, they're going to look better later in the season. That's what Robert Saleh thinks, by the way. So there you go. All right, let me stop for just a second on the defense and let me go out to the chat line. And again, if you're on X, come over to the chat line on John Lund Unleashed. If you're on the Bay Area Sports Collective, you can. We're running on Facebook tonight as well. So 49ers camp day 2, defense starts up front. We've talked about Trent, talked about Mikael Williams' size and how he's going to be a pain in the ass. He looks like physically to me Aldon Smith. Huff so fast off the edge. Winters, I'll get to in a minute because I told you I was going to talk about every level. Saleh speaks. He talked about the youth of the defense and 6 to 8 spots being open. So we've talked about every level of defense. We've shown you clips from the defensive line. And we haven't talked about the linebackers, but I'll do that in just a second. All right. So what do we got? Anybody have any questions, comments, thoughts? I agree with you. You tripping. I agree with you. But that's not going to change. It's not going to change. And so they've got to be on the offensive, so to speak. I mean, they've got to move him around. They've got to get him to some positive situations and some positive matchups and get him to the quarterback. They got to be that way. I think somebody mentioned Christian Wilkins. If everyone was paying attention this offseason, they let a guy like Hargrave go. They let a lot of injured veterans with big names go. I think he's still hurt too. They wanted him to get another surgery. That's what happened. Is the Raiders wanted him to get another surgery. He said no. That got contentious. They let him go, and they said that they're not going to give him the rest of his guaranteed money. And that's going to be decided by a judge at some point. But I think he's still hurt, is what I've heard. So I don't think that he's going to be. There's some Wilkins stuff. I don't think that he's going to be pursued by the 49ers. Now the 49ers look at everybody. But they just got rid of those kind of guys. I mean, Hargrave, I'm not saying he's exactly like Wilkins, but they just got rid of a guy who's hurt all the time that was overpaid. In fact, they just got rid of a bunch of those kind of guys. But at defensive tackle, they just got rid of that. So I get it that, they've got some really young defensive tackles, and it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to look at a guy like that if he was healthy and if he would not come in, if he would not come in for, a certain amount of money. But, I would be beyond shocked. The one position that there, and Kyle Shanahan said this yesterday, the one position that they could look at is wide receiver. I could see if somebody, through camp, and this is what happens in camp, teams start to look at what they've got, and a couple of guys will surprise and so forth, and like, man, we got a logjam at receiver. We got a logjam at safety. We got a logjam at, O-line, D-line, whatever. And then GMs will start calling around, about midway through camp. Hey, we got this guy, okay, we'll keep an eye on you, and then you kind of just, and then right before the season starts, you're like, okay, that kind of a thing. And I think the Niners would look at wide receiver at this particular point. So there you go. Let's play some D winners for you. I told you every level that we would talk about. So we haven't talked about linebackers on defense. We've talked about everybody else. I haven't talked to D winners before, so it was cool to talk to D winners. Here is D winners saying he's got to play his way. Got a lot of respect for Dre Greenlaw, but he's going to play his game, and he says he'll be just fine.
Important to play, as who I am and as D winners, and just go out there and do my job, play my style of football.
So what kind of influence was Dre that you got to watch him over the last few years?
Man, he was a great example of how to play the wheel linebacker. Downhill, fast, can cover, he can do it all, and that's something that I need to keep him in my game and moving forward.
Not a big guy, not a physically imposing guy, certainly not big like Fred Warner's big. I mean, Fred Warner is just, dude is built like bricks when he comes to the podium. I mean, he's a big dude. And D Winters is not that. Certainly Nick Martin is not that. Nick Martin is very undersized but very fast, and D Winters is fast. And again, the first 2 days of camp, D Winters has been everywhere. I didn't watch the linebackers and drills today, but I know because I've watched him before, D Winters is really fast. And last year, and D Winters would get to the place and he would overrun. He wouldn't break down. He would miss tackles. I just think he was just overexcited. He was hyper. He was excited to be in there. He was special teams. He's like, here's my shot. Here's my shot. Here's my shot. Here's my shot. He was just like, dude, settle the F down, dude. And so, look, he made a lot of mistakes, and so he wasn't playable. Now, the end of the season, he started to settle down. So I'm going to assume just because he's been one of the better players on the defensive side for the first couple of days with no pads on, and he did have what would have been a pick six in day one. I told you about that yesterday. I think that D Winters is ready. I think he's matured a little bit. I think he gets it. I don't think he's overwhelmed by it. I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed by the moment. But again, Monday, I'll give you a report just like this, and we'll see. Is he calm? Is he okay? But this is why the D-line is so important, because the philosophy that they have with these big dudes, and I showed you earlier, man, Alfred Collins is massive. You know, C.J. West is a big boy. You just saw Elliott standing next to Collins when Kucerov was barking at these guys. They got big guys inside. They have a Kevin Givens, and Givens may be in there for some passing downs to be a penetrator and an upfield guy. But these guys are there to protect these linebackers. You know, Fred Warner, well, all linebackers need protection. They got to get through these holes. But Nick Martin and Dean Winters are speed linebackers. And for them to get there, they're going to get swallowed up by guards. So they got to get help from those defensive tackles, especially to stay clean and to make plays. It is massive that they do that. Because as you can see right there, Dean Winters isn't a big dude. And he's taken over for Dre Greenlaw. And Dre Greenlaw was a big dude. Like when Dre Greenlaw came to the podium, he was like Warner. They were big dudes. But they could move. And one of the reasons why Dre Greenlaw lasted until the fifth round was he ran in the 4.7s. That's not Dean Winters. He ran in the 4.4s coming out of here. Nick Martin, he ran in the low 4.4s coming out of, I think it was 4.44 or 4.45 or something like that, coming out of Oklahoma State. These are speed guys. And if they get, you know, if they get big guards on them, they're in trouble. If they can stay clean, which is the philosophy that the Niners have, these big guys inside, they're going to make plays. So that's Dean Winters, and he seems a much more confident guy coming into this training camp, and we'll find out on Monday a lot more. All right. Should I do the catch of the day? Let me do this, because this is the guy that everybody was talking about today. And look, this is just what happens in camp. Let me flip to the offensive side of the ball here. This is just what happens in camp, but this happened right in front of me, and this is courtesy of the Niners. This happened right in front of me, and again, you can't tape during the 11-on-11, but this is the 11-on-11. So how camp works is we come out there, they do all the stretching, and then by the time they come out, they're in drills. And after the drill, you can tape and you can do all this stuff, and then you're on the sidelines, and then after that, 11-on-11, they're working on actual stuff in the offense, and you can't tape anymore. But this happened. The Niners sent it out so you can use it. Courtesy of the Niners, this was the catch of the day, and this is Isaiah Neyor, N-E-Y-O-R. He wears 14 for the Niners, undrafted free agent receiver out of Nebraska. That's Mac Jones. One, two, three dudes. And we may have to move this back a little bit just so you can see how impressive this catch is. Because when he caught it, it was like, he ain't catching that. We saw it. He's like, he's triple covered. Great catch. Great catch. It might have been more impressive in person. Of course, there were people at camp, and they all went crazy. Easily the catch of the day. Now, who is this dude? You're asking yourself. They need a receiver to step up, right? Not only that, it was like, okay, well, I'll tell you about Ricky in just a second. I actually put Run Ricky Run at the top here, but I wanted to start with defense. So it's like, all right, who is Isaiah Neyor? Like, yeah, I don't know anything about this guy. I didn't know anything about him until today. And so I'm like, I don't know anything about this dude, right? So let's find out about Isaiah Neyor, because I found his profile on NFL.com, and this is his profile. So, and I was talking to somebody on the sidelines about this guy. So a 5'8" is average backup or special teamer, right? Undrafted. So he's got a crazy story. 6'4", 218, 34-inch arms, almost, you know, 34.5-inch arms, big arms, 9.5-inch hands. Look at his athletic score, 92, second among all wide receivers, second most athletic player among receivers, didn't get drafted. Runs a 4.41. Look at this dude. We got to show it again. There he is right there. This dude ran a 4.41. He's a 4.4 guy, so he's not slow. He's 6'4", 220, and he's not slow. What the hell? He has a 38-inch vertical. What? I mean, look, this is underwear. I get that. But let's go down to his bio here. Starts at Wyoming. What? Stays at Wyoming for a few years. Has a couple of decent years, right? 12 receiving touchdowns his third year. 44.878. So he's he's averaging 20 yards a catch. Goes to Texas, tears his ACL, comes back in 2023, and then he finds out all these guys he leaves. Matthew Golden is there now. They had a bond transfer from Alabama. So he's like, I'm out of here. I got my senior year. I'm coming back from a knee injury at Texas. Then he goes to Nebraska last year. Raiola's their quarterback, a freshman, 34 for 455, 9 starts in 12 games for Nebraska, just okay. But so he goes to 3 different colleges. He goes to Wyoming, Texas, Nebraska, kind of gets lost, and they say he's a 6th or a 7th rounder. So he's a 4-4 guy at 6'4", 220. And he's only rated as maybe, you know, a 6th or a 7th rounder, maybe a free agent guy. But again, he's a fast dude. He's long. He's big. I don't know. I mean, the Niners tend to, I mean, he's a height, weight, speed guy. I don't know. He made one catch. Doesn't mean he's going to make the team. Doesn't mean, but I'm just telling you, Texas took him. He must be pretty decent. And he tore his knee. That's, you know, some bad luck in college. But the guy, I mean, that's a hell of a catch. I mean, that was easily the catch of the game. Everybody was oohing and on. Everybody was on their phones looking like, who the hell is this dude? Like, I've never heard of this guy before. He's big. I told you, the Niners went out and got some big receivers. Isaiah Nair, Wyoming, Texas, Nebraska, 6'4", 220, and runs a 4'4", 40. And that's a hell of a catch between 3 defenders. That's a nice, it was a great catch. We were like, what? So anyway, just a name to keep an eye on, made the catch of the day. 3 defenders on him, deep ball from Mac Jones, and pretty good. The guy looked pretty good, I got to be honest. And so now he's going to be on the radar of the 49ers, going to be on the radar of fans, because let's think about this. Let's do Run Ricky Run. Let's go back up to the top because we're near the bottom now, but let me go to Run Ricky Run. So I'm going to finish up on Nair in just a second. So we're walking over after all the drills, they blow the horn, and I'm one of the last ones coming around because I'm on the far end of the field, and you got to walk all the way to the other side and then pass these end zones and to the other side. So Ricky Pearsall and the other guys who are not participating in camp but are still working out come over to the close field, all right? They're on a far field. We can't see them or anything. Then they come to the close field. So because I'm the last lazy one to go there, I'm walking, and Pearsall's on the other field, and he starts running. Now, yesterday I told you he was kind of half speed, 3/4 speed, doing some stuff, whatever, cutting and all that, and so you couldn't really tell. I'm walking. He zips past me. I'm on the sideline. He zips past me full speed. I look. He cuts a ball. He jumps up like this and kind of twists and catches it and keeps on running. Full speed, full cut. So if, unless something bad happens between now and Sunday, and remember yesterday Kyle said that Ricky Pearsall would be make his camp debut on Sunday unless something happened, and they're off on Saturday. Unless something bad happens, Ricky Pearsall's going to be there on Sunday, because I was like, damn, like whew, cut, jump, catch, and then run. And I was like, oh, yeah. He's going to be available Sunday. So Run Ricky Run is that. So Ricky's, if Ricky's anything like that, Ricky's going to be one. Jennings is going to be another. And what? Because Cowing is hurt, and it seems to be significant, the hamstring. Another guy that I really, really like, DeMarcus Robinson, that's D-Rob at the bottom. I just like DeMarcus Robinson. He's got really good size. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but he would have been a guy that would have started. So you would add Pearsall, Jennings, and DeMarcus Robinson as your 3. Not so bad. But he's got the DUI stuff, so he's going to probably miss the first couple of games at least. Probably 2. So who's going to be the 3rd receiver? Now, it would be crazy to think some, you know, free agent, Wyoming, Texas, Nebraska, is going to be that guy. But that was a hell of a catch. And all of a sudden you're going, okay, he's 6'4", 220, running a, you know, 4'4 flat. And he's catching a ball between 3 defenders. And Jason Pinnock, by the way, who's been playing, getting most of the reps with the first team at one of the safety spots. That was one of the guys that was back there. That was a hell of a catch. So we'll just, you know, we'll keep an eye on that guy for the rest of camp. But that was a hell of a catch. And I'm, like I said, I'm playing this. This is no big deal. This isn't a big catch. That's DeMarcus Robinson. He's big. I mean, he's got really good size. He's got really good size. So I like DeMarcus Robinson. So but he's not going to be there the first 2 games. So again, let me go back to that depth chart that I was just showing you a second ago. You know, when we're going, okay, well, who's going to be that receiver? Because I just showed you Isaiah Nair, the kid that just made that hell of a nice catch. So let's go up to the receivers now. All right, Ayuk's not going to be there. Pearsall will be. Robinson's going to be suspended the first 2 games. Hodges, he's had some a little bit of success in this league. Brown, I think he's a camp body. Knowles hasn't done a whole lot. Watkins, I got to be honest, man, he was running around in shorts, and I watched him specifically today. And again, they're not in full pads, but he's kind of getting bumped around a little bit. I didn't see him. I can't remember. I don't think he caught a pass today in 11-on-11. That doesn't mean he's not any good. I'm just saying I'm waiting on him. Nayer made that great catch today. Tariq Owens, I don't know if he has any NFL speed. They just signed him today. He's more of a special teamer. So, again, there is a golden opportunity for Watkins or Nayer or Hodgins or somebody like that to nab a spot on this team and actually start on opening night as the third wide receiver for the 49ers. A legit shot. And the way that this dude got that ball and the way that you just, like, all of a sudden we all looked him up and went, how did this guy not get drafted? Just on the very fact that he's 6'4", 220 and runs a 4.440. So anyway, that is something to watch. So there you go. Let me think. Did I miss anything today? I told you that Bryant Young was at camp. That was pretty cool to see him kind of hanging around a little bit today. Another Patrick Willis sighting. So there you go. Episode 201, 49ers camp day two. Let me run past it. Run, Ricky, run, as he ran right past me at full speed. He's going to be ready on Sunday. Defense, as I say, starts up front. I showed you all that video. There you go. Let me just show you one more. That is Collins. And again, no sound because I don't want them to block it, but there's Kucerik screaming at the top of his lungs at Alfred Collins. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not done. You're not done. You're not done. Da-da-da-da-da. Telling him to correct some stuff. Then he gets in his ear again. Get down, big boy. 6'5", 332, screaming in his ear. And then, because most guys only did two reps of this, and now he's like, no. Do it again. Dude, he thinks he's done. He's like, no, big boy. Do it again. And then he's screaming at him again, right in the ear, right in the ear hole. And then he does it again. And then I just want you to notice, even though he's 6'5", I mean, this is not a fat, slobby guy. He's just a big dude. So that's Collins. And then a little get-off drill right there, Bosa. He's not quick or anything. And then you'll see a little Mikel Williams on the other side. I'm just giving you a little, if you're late to the show today, a little Mikel Williams. But, yeah, I hung out with the D-line for most of the day today. Was just watching run the hoop. They did a bunch of stuff today. And, again, Trent Williams said that Mikel Williams is going to be a mother. Look at the guy. He's just long. He looks like Alden, man. He's got long arms. He's only 20. I mean, that's a long, big dude. So anyway, there you go. We talked a lot of D today. Starts up front. Trent talked about Mikel Williams' size. Mikel Williams wanted to use Trent's plane to go to Mexico. He's like, no, bro, but I'm going anyway. Huff off the edge is looking quick. Winners for a couple of days has looked nice. Let's see Monday when the pads go on. Sala speaks. Said, look, we're going to be young. 6 to 8 rookie starters possibly, or at least new starters. We're going to be really young and we're going to make mistakes, but we're going to get better. Catch of the day, Isaiah Nayer. That's a name to watch. D-Rob, I still like DeMarcus Robinson. I think he's going to be good for this team. Oh, by the way, sleeper, Jordan James. He wears 29. He doesn't even look like he's 5'8". I don't know. The Niners always have that running back in camp. It seems like every single year where it's like, look, I'm not saying he's beaten out McCaffrey, obviously. Garendo has looked really, really good. I mean, Garendo just has that burst. He's really, really fast. But Jordan James wears 29. And every year I've been to camp, there's just that running back, right? There's just that running back. And every, you know, Elijah Mitchell 1 year, Matt Breida 1 year, like just every year, like that's the dude this year. And Jordan James out of Oregon, who I really like, undersized guy, is going to slip out of the backfield. People are going to forget him. And because he plays at Oregon, he's going to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he's going to be a preseason star. I don't know, you know, he's going to be the third back, so I don't know how much time he's going to get during the season. I don't know, that's a guy that I think could return some kicks. But anyway, just a name to watch. Jordan James wears 29, and he's short. He's not small. But anyway, I thought he was something worth mentioning. All right, I think that is it. Any questions, comments, thoughts? I'm going to take tomorrow off camp, then they're off Saturday. And Monday I'm going to go back for pads. I'm going to go back for pads on Monday because I want to see the winners. I want to see the big boys. I want to see the one-on-ones. That's why I'm going back. I want to see Trent Williams versus Mikel Williams. I want to see Trent Williams versus Nick Bosa. I mean, that's the stuff I want to see. I want to see corners versus receivers. I want to see young receivers. I want to see Isaiah Nayer get off of, you know, get off somebody grabbing him. That's what I want to see. Because so far, like, and I want to see Jordan Watkins do that, that kind of stuff. I want to see some physical play. So that's it. Anything else, everybody? Anything else? Going once, going twice, going three times. Hope you're enjoying this stuff. I hope you're enjoying it. And by the way, go to John Lund Radio, at John Lund Radio on X. And I always post a bunch of videos and stuff and before I do the show. So hopefully you get to that and you can see all the stuff that I'm posting there as well so that you can check out that stuff. So anyway, there you go. All right, there you go. There is a little bit of a review of day number two. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, and you're watching the show later, put them right underneath the show. Before you get out of here, if you do me the great favor of hitting the like, because the algorithm likes the likes. Remember that. It likes the likes. So if you just do me a favor and hit the like button before you get out of here today, that would be outstanding. And what else did I have today? That's it. Make sure you're subscribed if you're on X. Or if you're watching any other way on any other platform, please make sure that you go over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and hit us with a like and with a, subscribe to the channel. That would be outstanding. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, hit me either under here or X is always a good spot as well at John Lund Radio. Have a wonderful night. Back to the regular time tomorrow. If you are a morning watcher of the show, 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're going back to the regular time. So, again, regular time tomorrow, 9 a.m. Francis, don't worry about it. Just go back to the beginning. Francis is here. Casey is here. Lots of guys coming in late. No problem, dude. Just come back. Go back to the beginning of the show. Lots of great content today for day number two. We concentrated on the defense. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., I'll see you then.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!